Our scripture reading for this evening is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, who gives us further insights into things we heard in our reading for tonight. The 26th chapter, beginning with verse 39. Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was a little boy, and my parents would come back to the pew after taking the Lord's Supper, I distinctly remember the smell of the communion wine. And I always kind of liked that, and I looked forward to someday taking the Lord's Supper myself. I wonder how long that lingering taste and flavor of the wine or the smell of it on the breath of the disciples stayed with them that night after the Lord gave them this and instituted for them and for all of us this beautiful sacred feast of his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And here they are now, fast asleep in the garden, probably still with the odor of that wine on their breath. What happened? What has happened to change these men who seem to be so stalwart and ready to stand with Christ, willing to die for him, not just Peter, but others as well? They just heard Jesus give a beautiful discourse on the work he was about to do and what was coming up. Think of all the things he'd been witnessing in the last few weeks in his entrance on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem, the raising of Lazarus that had just taken place not long before this. Think about how Jesus had tried to impress upon them the important work that was coming up for them as he established the apostolic ministry. He had just said to them, My soul is sorrowful, even to the point of death. If you had a friend come to you and say that to you, don't you think you could stay awake? Don't you think you could stay awake? What happened? What happened to these men of God, hand-selected by the Son of God himself? What in the world happened to them? There's an artist from the 19th century named James Tissot, who's a French artist, and he was converted to Christianity later in life and dedicated the last years of his life to painting scenes, especially of our Lord's Passion. And this is an interesting painting of this scene. The three disciples are lying on the ground, sleeping, and Jesus is leaning over them, looking down at them with his arm leaning up against a rock. And what Tissot has tried to portray so beautifully is the disappointment on the face of Christ. And I often wonder that, what did his face look like as he looked at them before he wakes them up? Now, before I or you, before we go shaking our heads at these men, we need to shake our heads at ourselves, because they actually provide quite a picture of us in this world and how fickle we can be. Just like a 12-year-old girl at recess who can have two boyfriends in one 15-minute recess, our hearts can be so fickle toward God. Our hearts can run back and forth between Christ and the sinful things of this world so easily. And Jesus analyzes their situation and our hearts right to the T. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Man, is that accurate for me? There are so many times when I can be so enthused about this Christian faith, loving the fact that God has sent his son to pay for my sins and die on the cross so I can go to heaven, and excited about the mission of the church and wanting to make sure other people know about that and hearing and reading the word of God. And just within an hour, within minutes, within seconds of those same kind of thoughts, I can start thinking contrary to that and hate Christ, hate God, and start having rebellious thoughts against him and very deep sinful thoughts against him and others. And I can be filled with boredom. Within the same hour of my zeal about Christ, I can be filled with boredom about Christianity, apathy, lethargy, you name it. But this has always been the case for believers in Christ in this world. There's a consistency to this battle that goes on inside of us. You see it with Noah, with Abraham, with Lot, with Judah. Pick out somebody in Scripture, and the Holy Spirit almost always seems to include part of their dark side, if you will. St. Paul described it beautifully when he wrote this to the Galatians. He said, "The spirit and the sinful nature are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." He said this to the Romans, more familiar words to us. "When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." So it's not like a light switch off and on. It's right there at the same time, inside of us at the same time. I've often quoted one of my seminary professors who used to point his finger at us about our preaching. And he used to say, "Make sure that you don't paint the portrait of a Christian as somebody who never sins, because none of us can live up to that." So you and I should not be surprised that my sinful flesh is trying to kill the new man of faith that's been created in us by the Holy Spirit. We should expect that, because each of these in us is serving a completely different master. They're coming from completely different sources, one from heaven and one from hell. And when the old Adam in us tries to kill the new man that loves Christ, when that takes place inside of us, it's not just to bother us or aggravate us. He's trying to kill the new man. He's trying to kill our faith. And we need to recognize that reality. But notice how Jesus comes to these weak disciples, these weak men, looking down at them, leaning on this rock. And notice how still gentle, forgiving, long-suffering, kind-hearted, and compassionate he is toward them. And how he is still toward you and me too. Just think of your life, like mine. Think how often you have strayed away from God. How frequently you have run. Think how far sometimes you've run away from God. Think of the frequency of it. Think of how deep some of the sins have been in the thoughts that we have had. And yet God still keeps bending over, looking at us as members of his church, wanting to have us stay with him. He's able to look right into your soul, right into your memory, right into who you are. He can see every ugly motive that you've ever had in your life that you've hidden from everybody else. And he still looks at us with loving compassion. He knows all of this about us, and yet he still has a forgiving nature toward us and a compassionate, gentle nature. And he still wants to use us, just like the disciples. He still wants to use us in his kingdom, despite knowing all of that. Just think for a minute. How many jobs in Mankato would be lost this week if the employers, the bosses over people, were able to read the minds of the workers, okay? Right even on this campus, probably, okay? Just think of how many friendships on this campus and in your life would be destroyed if people were able to read your mind about what some of your thoughts have been, just like mine, about people that we run into in our day-to-day life, even the people that are really close to us. How many marriages would end in divorce if spouses were able to read the thoughts and the hearts and the intent and motives in their spouse's mind? God's able to do all of that with me and with you. He sees it all in all of its ugliness. And he still loves you. He still forgives you. He still invites you to his sacrament. He still has his pastor stand in front of you and proclaim absolution to you, that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. He still wants you in his kingdom. He still has heaven waiting for you. He still has your name on a place in heaven. And he still wants to use you to do his work, just like he did with these weak disciples. You see, you and I may be fickle toward God, but thank God he is not fickle toward us. He has been solid for us and with us. You know, the scene that's in front of us really sums up Christianity so beautifully in a little nutshell. Think of what's going on here. Think of everything our Lord Jesus is enduring, taking all of the guilt of our sins, putting it on himself. His sweat is like drops of blood. He's hours away from having his body pierced for our sins. He's doing it all, and we're sleeping. That's Christianity, okay? It's all God. It's all Christ. It's all your Savior. He's taken care of it all. Thank God. Thank God that he's taken care of it all. And now he says to us to stay in this faith, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Keep that new man alive in you by being watchful in your spiritual life, prayerful in your spiritual life, and hearing his word, receiving his sacrament. You know, it's going to be really something to get to heaven and to get to know a lot of the people we knew here in this life without sin, without their old Adam dragging along. Isn't that going to be fun? I mean, I love many of you even knowing that, and maybe you feel that way about me. Think how awesome it's going to be to not have that in the way. Think how wonderful it's going to be in heaven with your spouse without any sin in the way. And think how great it's going to be for you to get to experience what you are like without sin in heaven. That's what you have waiting for you in Christ. Look forward to that day. Live for that day. Amen.